Welcome now to a special two-hour edition of The Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, coming to you today from Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And we have a studio audience, and we have some wonderful performers lined up for this hour and for the next hour here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're celebrating, as you may know by now, the 100th anniversary of Wisconsin Public Radio in 2017, and we have music for the occasion that's been selected by our performers here at Viterbo that dates from 1917. You get a sense of what music was being written and enjoyed when Wisconsin Public Radio sent out its first dots and dashes to the people of Wisconsin. And it's a perfect time to tune in with the Dean of the College of Arts and Letters here at Viterbo, and also a former duet partner of our pianist today. And his name is Timothy Shore, and he'll give us some idea of the big picture having to do with music here at Viterbo. And welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, yeah. Timothy Shore.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you so much. It's a real honor and pleasure to bring this live broadcast to you here from Viterbo. About 25 years before Wisconsin Radio began to broadcast, the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, who are the founders and sponsors of Viterbo, settled in La Crosse and began teaching music lessons to young children. And even before our university was founded, their dedication to the arts began to carry forward and really influence the evolution of our institution. In many profound ways, including the founding of the St. Rose Conservatory in 1904, which was the predecessor of our music program. They created an accredited music program. They founded professional training programs in art, music, and theater. And certainly this beautiful Fine Arts Center that we're broadcasting from opened in 1971, and it's really been a great resource for our institution and certainly the greater La Crosse community. And as some of our local audience members may know, recently Viterbo joined with the La Crosse Community Theater to form a partnership and construct the Weber Center for the Performing Arts, which is on the beautiful scenic downtown La Crosse riverfront. And that's certainly been a way that our history and legacy of the fine arts have extended throughout the community. So it really is a pleasure to see all of you here and to be part of this wonderful celebration of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Timothy Shore. Now let's bring on our first performers. They'll be performing music by Ottorino Respighi, and they are violinist Nancy Oliveros and pianist Mary Ellen Halpert, and we'll get just a word from each about what we're going to be hearing them do. Let's start with Nancy, and what about Respighi? We think of him as a great orchestral colorist. Is he the same way when he's writing for just a violin and piano?
Very beautiful. I was thinking about this sonata the other day, and I said, you know, if I could describe this Italian sonata in its terms of beauty, it would be Sophia Loren. Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. And the thing that I so appreciate about this is the fact that my violin teacher, who I spent many years with, studying here in the convent, and also when I was 12 through 17, age 17, and Cyrilla Barr introduced me to this beautiful sonata about 10 years ago when she returned to La Crosse for her retirement. She's a world traveler and scholar, and I just so appreciate that she brought this sonata into my life and with Mary Ellen to collaborate. And I think she was right about saying, you know, Nancy, I think you need to play this. And so I'm really grateful that you're going to hear it, and I'm going to dedicate this performance to Cyrilla.
And we'll hear from Mary Ellen, get her perspective on some of these later, but for now, shall we get to it? The sonata in B minor for violin and piano by Respighi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Violinist Nancy Olivelos and pianist Mary Ellen Halford with the sonata in B minor, written in 1917 by Arduino Ruspighi, part of our centennial celebration here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're bringing you live music from Viterbo University, and they'll be back, and we'll have much more music live from Viterbo University right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back live from Viterbo University with more music. And we will be hearing next from baritone Daniel Johnson Wilmot, and his pianist is Judy Staffslein, and they have music that takes us back a little further. It's by Johannes Brahms.
Yes, Judy and I are really excited to perform these songs this morning. And Brahms is a very serious composer who was what we call a really severe perfectionist. But he wrote three songs that we'd like to sing. The first one is Die Mainacht, and it sets a stage in the evening, and it tells a love story of a man who's searching for love and not exactly finding it, even in the most beautiful setting of turtle doves and nachtigalls, or nightingales. And the second song is called Botschaft, and it is a representation of wind carrying words from a man who has evidently been jilted by a woman, and his revenge is that the words should tell him he's really in a miserable state, and then she'll be thinking of him, and that's his revenge with her. The third one is called Von ewiger Liebe, and it's called Eternal Love, and it's a song where a man is explaining his love for a woman, and in the beginning of the song, and he's quite verbal, has a lot of things to say, and then she responds and says, "Well, I think our love is going to last because it's stronger than steel and iron."
Und sie einsame Tränen. Wange der Geliebten spielen zart in ihre Locke, eilen nicht in Weg zu fliehen.
Daniel Johnson Wilmot, 40 years and more, a faculty member here at Viterbo University, with pianist Denise Staplin, and three songs by Johannes Brahms, and we'll have yet more from Viterbo University live music right after this here on WPR. And we're back now, live from Viterbo University, and we have a couple more works from, in this case, John Sibelius, as we continue to celebrate this centennial of Wisconsin Public Radio with live music from faculty members here at Viterbo in La Crosse, Wisconsin. We'll have more during the midday, too, as I mentioned earlier. At hand now, we're going to bring back our violinist Nancy Oliveros and pianist Mary Ellen Halpert, and they have two of the five pieces for violin and piano by Sibelius.
And those pieces will be a rondino and a waltz.
Thank you.
A couple of charming little pieces by John Sibelius, and we'll perhaps have time for a couple more of those during the midday today, during our next hour of music, live from Viterbo University. Our violinist was Nancy Oliveras, and the pianist, Mary Ellen Halpert, he said. And in the midday, as I mentioned, more live music to look forward to from here at Viterbo University. We'll be hearing more from the works of Ottorino Respighi, some pieces that are not so frequently heard, but certainly are worthy of it, to say the least. And we'll also hear some contemporary music, and Claude Debussy will be represented as well, bringing back some of our performers. We'll also have the 12:30 quiz question today. I think you'll find that it's an easy question, but you never know. We're always guessing about how those things are going to turn out. But today being Friday, there is a treasure trove at stake for somebody who gets it right. It's all after the latest news here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And welcome back to this two-hour midday, a special edition with live music from Viterbo University. I'm Norman Gilliland. Our quiz question is about 24 minutes away or so, maybe a little earlier, a little later, given that we have live music today. But it'll be there, and so will plenty of performers here from Viterbo University, providing music that celebrates this centennial of Wisconsin Public Radio, which started it all back in 1917. How time does fly. Well, we're going to start musically this hour of the midday with more from Respighi. We heard earlier in the previous hour a sonata of his, a violin and piano sonata, and now, perhaps even less known, some of the songs of Respighi, and we have three of them, featuring soprano Anne Schunecker, and again, we'll have pianist Mary Ellen Halpert. And how did you discover these songs?
Well, these three songs were something that Mary Ellen and I did 9 years ago, the very first time we collaborated, and she was putting on a Respighi concert, and we just did some exploration and did a lot of listening and found these three pieces that we thought were really interesting and beautiful.
And what are the three, should
the
I ask
three
him?
The pieces are O Falce di Luna, Pioggia and Notte.
So let's see, a waning crescent moon, night and, or rain and then night.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, three songs by Ottorino Respighi.
Thank you.
vasto silenzio va. Stood of it,
Soprano Ann Schoenecker, who's also the chair of the music department here at Viterbo University, with pianist Mary Ellen Haupert, and three songs by Respighi. They were "A Waning Crescent Moon," "Rain," and "Night." And now we'll raise the stick on the piano. We'll be having some straight piano music from a very different time right after this on WPR. Gosh, you're such a good crowd, so well behaved. And we're back now with pianist Mark Tollefson, who is going to play a couple of movements from a work called On the Blue Shore of Silence by Douglas Pugh. And welcome to the midday.
Thank you. Douglas Pugh is a terrific composer that I met when I was a graduate student in Cincinnati. And 6 years ago, he and I received a commission from the Barlow Endowment, and the result of the commission was this five-movement set on the Blue Shore of Silence. The title and the title of each of the movements come from Pablo Neruda's poetry collection, The Sea and the Bells. And I'll be playing the first movement, It Rains, and the fourth movement, is the Sea There.
Thank you.
Those are two movements from a work called On the Blue Shore of Silence by contemporary composer Douglas Pugh. We heard It Rains and Is the Sea There? I'd say the sea very much was there in that performance by Mark Tollefson, who is an acquaintance of that composer. And now we're going to bring out our next performers, and we have heard from them before already. We're going to bring back violinist Nancy Oliveris and pianist Mary Ellen Halpert, and now they have something from, as I mentioned, Claude Debussy, that comes right from that year of 1917. Really, in many ways, a bad year for everybody, Debussy included, as you can well remember that we were involved in World War I at that time. Even the United States by 1917 was in World War I, but France had been in it for 3 years, and Debussy there in Paris would actually hear the bombardments. And I'm wondering, Nancy and Mary Ellen, if you have any sense of that in this sonata, or is it really, you think, completely detached from that? See, they're conferring, because what do you think?
Well, the sonata is, of course, he intended it to be cast in an 18th century form, but it's Debussy. And it's Debussy wanting to do something different than the German Romantic tradition. So you hear some use of modes. There's a pentatonic scale in the left hand. There is, especially in the middle movement, there's a clownish kind of Pierrot. We were talking last night, Nancy and I were discussing the music, and I said, it's almost like Pierrot. And we know that he's composed several songs on that carriage. So that sad clown seems to work with Debussy at this end, at the end of his life. And Nancy, do you want to say anything about it being his final?
I think in relationship to what's going on in the world at that time, and he was going through his own battle with very extremely painful end-of-life cancer issues, mm-hmm. and he was suffering quite a bit just from that. But before he knew death was imminent before he passed away, he wanted to put something French on the map. And so the sonata form is traditionally German, and he did his darndest to make this sonata sound French.
Yeah, he really did. He writes, I only wrote this sonata to be rid of the thing. Spurred on by my dear publisher, this sonata will be interesting from a documentary point of view and as an example of what may be produced by a sick man in time of war. But it's lively and it's full of life. We love performing this piece. We did it at Schubert Club January 19th, I don't think it sounds like a sick man in a time of war.
It probably sounds more like a French man.
Yeah.
At any time. And so this is the from 1917. It's the one and only sonata for violin and piano. And before we get into it, though, when we say sonata for violin and piano, sometimes that means a violin sonata where the pianist is sort of like, you know, keeping up. And sometimes that even can mean a sonata where the piano sort of has the lead and the violin is slightly in second chair. How do you ladies feel about this one?
Oh, absolutely. This one is equal parts. Equal. We're interestingly enough, he describes us as we're not actually accompanying each other. We're sort of fighting each other along the way. We're challenging each other through the music. Question, answer, lots of interesting rapport between the two equal instruments. Thank you.
Thank you.
From 1917 by Claude Debussy. He certainly has a triumphant sounding finale. The violinist was Nancy Oliveros and the pianist Mary Ellen Halpert. And we're hearing it live from Viterbo University in La Crosse, part of a centennial celebration for Wisconsin Public Radio. There will be many other events during this centennial year of 2017. We'll have, of course, more music. We'll have news and talk-related events, and even some old-time radio live at various points around Wisconsin during the year. I'll repeat our 12:30 quiz question now, and we'll see. We have about another 8 minutes to have you weigh in on that. Our quiz question today, rather enigmatic and short, and not even a question exactly, goes like this. The record is 77,000 pounds in 1 year. What would that be referring to? 77,000 pounds of what? And you can weigh in with your answer in the next 8 minutes The usual way, email your answer to us at midday@wpr.org, or you can phone 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Mia, and we'll see who wins that treasure trove from among all correct respondents. Well, we heard at the close of the previous hour two little salon pieces by John Sibelius, which really give another side to that often brooding Nordic composer. And we have time, I think, for the other three. Are you up for that? Would you like to hear one or two more anyway? How many would you like to do?
We'll do the mazurka.
Okay.
And most of you think of a mazurka as a Polish dance. Well, the Finnish have their own dance, too. And their mazurka is the Radova, something like that. And I watched them last night. I wish we could really do the dance rather than play the music. But
we'll do that next time.
The mazurka is not just a Polish thing. There is a Finnish mazurka. So
Google told me
that.
Comes from that most famous of all Finnish composers. And John Sibelius is not usually known for this kind of thing, but you have discovered these pieces, and here it is. So, Nancy and Mary Ellen, if you were to hear this piece just out of the blue, or actually any of the companion pieces, would you think Sibelius? Would you be able to name that composer?
No. Not in my, the concerto is about as, if, no.
I think it sounds like no.
He wrote seven symphonies, he wrote a lot of tone poems,
But he was a violinist. He was a violinist, and when he was little, his composing just took over his life. But he loved playing the violin, and I think in 1917, even reading about him, he just needed to write something lovely and charming and something that would sell.
You know, we overlook that, don't we? We think of composers as being, you know, inspired by the muses and just writing whatever they felt like, and it comes out perfectly, and then it's either successful or it isn't. But sometimes, well, there was one composer, I won't give his name, but I interviewed a prominent American composer, though, and when asked why he wrote one of his really best-known works, he said, for the money, why else?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
so there is that out there. I mean, not to overplay it, but that is an aspect of it.
But he did become, I mean, he was Finland's favorite son.
Yes.
Well, of course. Yeah.
And he was featured before they decided to adopt the euro. He was featured on the 100 mark. And his birthday, December 8th, is also celebrated as the Day of Finnish Music.
Well, that's
neat?
About as good as you get for a composer.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be a long time before in this country we have a composer on, you know, the $100 bill, for example.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Although Benjamin Franklin does have some works attributed to him, I think that's bogus. That was just a fashionable thing to do back in the day.
I've heard the string quartet. I've heard it.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, isn't it?
It's pretty awful.
I've actually played it on the air. I don't think anybody would rush to claim credit for that particular one.
Yeah.
Now, are you all playing it again anytime soon?
Yes, we're playing next Saturday night, April 8th at 7:30, and it's the last concert of the year for the One of a Kind Chamber Music Series. And so we chose this particular concert to honor public radio, but there are a lot of anniversaries. Artaria String Quartet, which has been a staple of the concert series, was celebrating 30 years. Nancy is one of the founding quartet members. I don't know if you want to say anything about that.
So excited about our 30th season. You can't imagine that we've made it this long, and we're so excited, and we're going for another 30, so hang in there.
All right. Kudos to you.